Hello, magandang araw po sa inyong lahat, wherever you are. Today is December 10, 2020, Thursday po. Ito po ang, by the way, ang time po ngayon ay 6:30 p.m. Ito po ang inyong brother Carlo Bisa. Kayo po ay nakikinig sa ating program, An Hour with God Through the Lighthouse. So Mix LR po up, and we just want to thank you for tuning in. Again, this is Brother Carlo Bisa. This is a recording. I would like to thank every one of you who are continuing to listening to us, or continues to listen to us on Thursdays and all other days as well, to support this program. It is our evangelistic program to be able to share the word of God to all those who are not in the body of Christ as of yet. And we want to thank DJ Darl, and also Brother Buds, and all those who are the contributors for our MixLR app, the Lighthouse. And we also want to pray for all those who are in the hospital, our brothers and sisters in Christ, or their loved ones who are sick. We are continue to pray for them. We also want to pray for the Bravo family who have lost their loved one recently, and we'll continue to pray for them, for peace and comfort. And also pray for our family member, my grandma, who suffered her second stroke the other day. Continue to pray for the doctors and the nurses who are taking care of her, that everything may go well, so that she may be released from the hospital soon. And again, let us continue to pray for one another. And before we start our program this evening, our lesson for this evening, by the way, will be taken from the book of Luke, chapter 15, verse 11 to 32. And our title would be The Love of the Father. Okay, the love of the Father. So before we start, let's pray. Our Father in Heaven, once again, we thank you for allowing us to have this time to listen to your word. May you continue to bless each and every one of us who are tuning in at this time, Lord, who are tuned in at this time. And we pray, dear Father, that may you open up our hearts and our minds, dear Father, to the word that will be spoken, and that we may use it for our daily lives. We pray, dear Father in Heaven, that may we also use this, dear Father in Heaven, to respond, dear Father, and obey to your word and obey to the gospel, dear Father, which will be preached this evening. And we thank you once again, Lord, for allowing us to have blessings, not only physical but also spiritual in nature. We also pray for the Bravo family, dear Father, and may continue to give them peace and comfort at this time. We also pray for our loved ones, our family members who are sick and shut in, dear Father in Heaven. And all those who are going through a lot, dear Father, may you keep us in the palm of our hands. And may you watch over us, dear Father in Heaven, and be with us in the time, dear Father in Heaven, that we are in need. May you be with us, Lord, again, and forgive us of our sins and our shortcomings. As we ask and pray in Jesus' name, amen. Again, our topic will be taken from Luke chapter 15, verse 11 to 32. We all know this. It's the prodigal son, right? And let me read for you the chapter and the verses of Luke chapter 15, verse 11 to 32. And I'll be reading from the New King James Version of the Bible. Then he said, "A certain man had two sons, and the younger of them said to his father, 'Father, give me the portion of goods that falls to me.' So he divided to them his livelihood. And not many days after, the younger son gathered all together, journeyed to a far country, and there wasted his possessions with prodigal living. But when he had spent all, there arose a severe famine in that land, and he began to be in want. Then he went and joined himself to a citizen of that country, and he sent him into his fields to feed swine. And he would gladly have filled his stomach with the pods that the swine ate, and no one gave him anything. But when he came to himself, he said, "How many of my father's hired servants have bread enough and to spare, and I perish with hunger? I will arise and go to my father, and I will say to him, 'Father, I have sinned against heaven and before you, and I am no longer worthy to be called your son. Make me like one of your hired servants.' And he arose and came to his father. But when he was still a great way off, his father saw him and had compassion and run and fell on his neck and kissed him. And the son said to him, 'Father, I have sinned against heaven and in your sight, and I'm no longer worthy to be called your son.' But the father said to his servants, 'Bring out the best robe and put it on him, and put a ring on his hand and sandals on his feet, and bring the fatted calf here and kill it, and let us eat and be merry. For this my son was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found.' And they began to be merry. Now his older son was in the field, and as he came and drew near to the house, he heard music and dancing. So he called one of the servants and asked what these things meant. And he said to him, 'Your brother has come, and because he has received him safe and sound, your father has killed the fatted calf.' But he was angry and would not go in. Therefore his father came out and pleaded with him. So he answered and said to his father, 'Lo, this many years I have been serving you. I never transgressed your commandment at any time, and yet you never gave me a young goat that I might make merry with my friends. But as soon as this son of yours came, who has devoured your livelihood with harlots, you killed the fatted calf for him.' And he said to him, 'Son, you are always with me, and all that I have is yours. It was right that we should make merry and be glad, for your brother was dead and is alive again, and was lost and is found.'" The parable of the prodigal son is, among other things, a story about how God the Father shows his love in ways we can relate to as human beings. You see, God loves us in big ways. Ways that are evident, but hard to really relate to as human beings. For example, the sun in the sky that provides for so many of our needs is a big way that he shows us his love. The way that he has ordered history to provide a savior, Jesus Christ, to die for our sins. This is another proof of his concern for us. There is no doubt that this and other actions on God's part demonstrate his great love for each and every one of us. The problem, of course, is that none of us have the power to create a star or manipulate history. And so it's difficult for us to fully appreciate God's big ways on how to love us. In the story of the prodigal son, however, we see the intimate ways or human ways that God, our Father, loves us. Ways that we as human can understand and relate to. Ways that a father loves a son or a daughter. So how does God love us? How does the Father love us? When we look at the parable we just read, we see three ways that this father showed his son his love. By extension, or by looking at the same thing that God does for us, God shows his love the same way how the prodigal son was mentioned in the Bible. We have to remember 1 John 4:8. It says there, God is love. Okay. So the first thing, how God shows us his love for us, is looking at the prodigal son, is He let him go. He let him go. During those times, the Jewish customary in those days for the eldest son is to not only receive a double portion of his father's inheritance, but to be the first one to do so. It was also customary to wait until the father died or the father chose to parcel out his wealth to his children. This child didn't wait his turn or wait until the father decided to give. He demanded his portion right away, and we see that the father, without a word, have him his portion and let him go. Even though it was against wise counsel, okay, the father also let him go without manipulation. The father let him go without no strings attached. When the son was old enough to make his own decision, even though it was foolish, the father let him make it. He loved him enough to let go. God, our Father, is also like this. He lets us go too. We are free to disobey Him if we want. But there are consequences to disobeying Him. We have to remember that. We can reject and abandon the church. We can ignore all the wise counsels of His Word and promptings of His Holy Spirit and go on our own way if we want to. Well, some think that God should throw a thunderbolt just to stop us. They think that this would be love. But love means leaving the door open, not locking it into a prison. God loves man enough, or God loves us enough, to allow us to be free. God loves man enough to risk rejection in order to gain true faithfulness and love in return. Again, if God forces His love on us, then it is not love. He doesn't make the same mistake that some fathers make in confusing control with compassion. God loves enough to deny Himself and allow His children to choose the way they live and live the way they choose. But like the father in the parable, God's love doesn't end with a goodbye. Okay? So, how does God love us? Number two, according to the parable, the father waits for a return. The father waits for a return. If in the parable, it says that the father saw his son returning while he was still a long way off. He wasn't barricaded behind closed doors. He didn't have the locks changed as soon as the son left. He was expectant and made himself available at the first glimpse of the son's return. God's love to us is like that. He waits expectantly for our return. He makes himself visible all the while. Everywhere there are signs of God's presence and His love if we only but see. What are those? Beauty and love demonstrated by His creation that shelters and feeds us. The will and conscience that we possess continually attest to man's ability given by God, or the freedom to choose. The Bible speaks of God's love and provides assurance and guidance for a good life here on earth and an eternal life with God in heaven if we so choose to be baptized in water. These are all signs of God's love, reminders of His concerns for us. No matter where we go, the father in the parable had great faith. At one point, he said to his older son in the parable that the younger son had been dead, but now was alive. This was a fair assessment of the younger son's condition. He was gone, he was unfaithful, he was destitute, he was dead to his God, dead to his family, and dead to his people. But the father waited for this dead son return. Such as is the foolishness of the fathers who love their children. They hope even against hope to receive them back from the dead. Okay. God's love is like this, in that while we sin, while we ignore Him, while we harm ourselves, while we mock Him and all that He has done to show us His love, He still waits for us to come back to Him, to do that 180 degree turn. He plans for and works each day to win us back, and wait anxiously to see us from afar returning to Him. He lets us go, He waits for us, and when we do return, God displays His greatest show of love. And that's number 3. But before we look at number 3, let me read for you 2 Peter chapter 3 verse 9. The Lord is not slack concerning His promise, as some count slackness, but is long-suffering toward us, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. And that is how God shows us that He waits for us. Tomorrow, tonight, maybe next week, our time is not promised. But God still is waiting for us to respond to Him, because He wants everybody to be saved. And that's not according to me, and that is what according to what the Bible says. In 2 Peter chapter 3 verse 9. So anyway, let us look at number 3. He restores us. It's one thing to take back an erring child. It's quite another to restore an erring child. What the son in the prodigal son's story was, what the son wanted was to be taken back. The son wanted to have food and shelter, earning his keep through proper and expected behavior. It's what he deserved, better than what he deserved. What he was asking for was to live under new rules, under new imposed law. But his father gave him mercy and restoration. The father's gift showed how the son was restored. He greeted him with kisses, which showed him his love and affection. He felt compassion. He told the son that he understood his pain and the effort that it took to come back. He put the best robe, which signifies position, the long robes worn by nobles during those times. The ring is a mark of belonging or sonship. The father took him back as his son, not as a slave. The sandals signified that he was not treated as a slave. Okay, because during those times slaves went barefooted. The fattened calf and celebration was a precious gift as well. The father gave his son the right to smile again or to laugh again. The right to experience joy, because with forgiveness comes restoration, and with restoration comes joy. The father restored his son back to his original position in the household, with all its rights and privileges. God, or the father, even defended him to his older brother, who was jealous of his father's goodness and mercy. He would have preferred some legal arrangement. Well, God, our Father in heaven, is this type of father. When we return to Him, He doesn't give us what we deserve or what we've earned. He restores us completely. He restores us as sons and daughters. And as sons and daughters, we have no more sin because he forgave us in Acts chapter 2 verse 38. That is if we accept him through baptism in water. There's no more shame. He covers us with Christ. Galatians chapter 3 verse 26. There's no more condemnation. Romans chapter 8 verse 1. No restitution to be made. Romans 4 to 5. Romans chapters 4 and chapter 5. No more sadness. There is hope in heaven. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 verse 16. In addition to this, God our Father defends us against the constant charges of the enemy, Satan, that we are unworthy. By keeping the blood of Christ and the prayers of the Holy Spirit constantly at the throne of mercy on our behalf, defending and justifying us every time. That is why Jesus is the propitiation of our sins. When the Heavenly Father restores us, He restored us to our heavenly position as sons and daughters of God, occupying the right hand of His throne with Jesus. So in summary, this parable teaches us practical lessons for fathers or those who are mothers as well. Practical lessons on how God loves us as a father. The purpose of our work sometimes in the church is to show God that we love Him back. The purpose of baptism is to show God that we love Him back. To show God that we obeyed and we are faithful. That's the reason why we have to follow the steps to salvation. What are the steps to salvation? We have to hear the gospel. What is the gospel? Romans 10:17 says, so then faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. The gospel is that Jesus came to earth. He died for all of us, for all our sins. He was risen again on the third day after He died. And He ascended into heaven, seated at the right hand of the Father. We have to believe that Jesus is the Son of God. John chapter 20 verse 30 to 31. We have to repent of our sins. Luke 13 and 3, Luke 13 and 5. Jesus said, I tell you no, but unless you repent, you will all likewise perish. After repentance of our sins, we have to confess Jesus Christ before men. Romans chapter 10 verse 9, it says there that if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised Him from the dead, you will be saved. We do not stop at confession of Christ before men. The next thing we have to do is we have to be baptized for the removal and washing away of our sins. Mark 16 verse 15 to 16 says, Jesus mentioned this. And He said to them, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He who believes and is baptized will be saved. But he who does not believe will be condemned. That is why baptism is very essential for the washing away of our sins and for us to inherit eternal life. After baptism, God will add us to His kingdom. Acts chapter 2 verse 47. No man can add you to the kingdom of God. Only God can do that. And that's after baptism. All we have to do is we have to endure until the end of time. Revelation 2:10 states, be faithful until death, and I will give you a crown of life. That's it, brothers and sisters in Christ, and all those who are listening, all those who are in the elsewhere, we thank you once again, and we pray that this message would touch you in a special way, and that you would be able to respond as well to the gospel call that was mentioned at the last part of this message. Again, thank you, and may God keep you. Let us pray. Our Father in heaven, we thank you once again for allowing us to be on this program, Lord, and for allowing us to listen in. We pray, dear Father, that may you watch over us all throughout the week, and we watch also for our families and our loved ones who are not with us, and our brothers and sisters in Christ as well. May you be with us all. And again, Lord, we thank you for your love and your mercy that you always show towards us, Lord. Even we don't deserve it, Lord, you give it to us. And we thank you, dear Father in heaven. We thank you also for your Son, Jesus Christ, who died on the cross for our sins. This we ask and pray in Jesus' name. Amen.